Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host Upendra Verma, and today we have Amar Ghosh with us. Amar here is the CEO of a company called ZenMade. Hey Amar, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
All right, Amar. So let's try to understand, right, what ZenMade does, right, and why customers are willing to pay you money.
Essentially everyone watching this, I assume, is going to be familiar with a maid service or a cleaning company. Those companies have, like, across the world have one thing in common. They have to know where they have to be and when, who's going to go there and what are the details like of the appointment. That's even more important than being good at cleaning, because if you don't show up where you're expected to be, then, nothing actually happens in the business. So ZenMade is essentially a better alternative to what previously was a whiteboard or Google Calendar or just a pen and paper diary. We essentially take all of that basic information and put it on steroids for cleaning companies around the world to use. So all automations around the schedule.
Talk a bit about these cleaning companies, right? So how do they look like? So, like, what does a cleaning company look like? So how many, like, just give us a sense of your, customer, right? Before we get into it.
It tends to be much, much smaller. That we work with residential cleaning companies specifically, like very specifically. We don't work with commercial cleaners, post-construction, window washers, none of that stuff. Just like in your house, like cleaners. So it tends to be almost like mom and pop type businesses, where I think our average customer has, I believe, 5 cleaners, maybe a little bit more. I think 6 cleaners is now the average in ZenMade. And it ranges up to like maybe 40. I think one customer has like 80, but it's a pretty small, like it's a very, very like SMB the average customer is paying us just under $100 a month.
Okay. And how many paying customers are we talking about today that you're serving on your platform?
A couple thousand, low thousands.
It's around 2,000, something like that?
Around there, yeah.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So, like, what's the total revenue you're doing as a company today? And approximate numbers totally work?
We're at approximately $2.5 million $2.5 million annually right now, yeah.
All right. And I also want to get a sense of how you're growing, right? So over the past 12 months, right? So where were you in terms of revenue approximately 12 months before today?
I think we were, I don't know, that's kind of a tough one. I mean, I think right now, like we're at like just under 200,000 in annual or in monthly recurring revenue. And we were at about 150,000 in monthly recurring revenue. So yeah, about like 25 to 30% growth over the past 12 months.
All right. So and when did you start the company as such? So when was that first customer that paid you?
We started 11 years ago.
Okay. That's a long time, right? So there's a lot of things that must have happened in the background, right? So I want to capture this, in a step-by-step fashion, right? First, I want to understand what's happening over the past 12 months, right? So this 20 to 30% growth that you're getting, right? So where are your customers primarily discovering you in terms of, top of funnel lead generation perspective?
We have like a big community on Facebook. We have a lot of organic and like SEO traffic that is that's coming to us. We've run some paid ads, although those have mainly been shut off in the past year, but we're about to kind of like bring those like back. Lot of like industry partnerships and stuff. I mean, we've been doing all of this for a long time. Yeah. So, over the years, we've built up a lot of marketing assets and quite a few distribution channels.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? And I still want to get a sense of, your engine today, right? I understand you've got a lot of channels, right? And obviously you need to have those at this stage of your company, right? So, but which of them do you believe at this point of time, right, is sort of contributing a lot? So can you just put a number, right? Can you just help us understand, give some ratio of what's working, how, and all of those things across these channels? Or is it very hard to
honestly, not really, because marketing attribution and tracking is just total crap. It's a problem that no one has been able to properly like solve. And I also don't believe that there's any one channel that actually does that. I very much believe in the whole that someone has to see your brand 7 times before they like actually sign up. So, I mean, I would say that our Facebook group helps a lot with a lot of people signing up, but very, very few people come to the Facebook group, discover us, and then sign up directly like through that. So I think it's all like interrelated. I mean, if I had to pick one, it would probably be SEO and organic. But beyond that, I don't really have a good answer there.
So we'll talk about these two things, right? So talk about this Facebook group that you're talking about, right? So what's your strategy there, right? So do you use it primarily as a lead nurturing channel? Like what happens in that community?
So we have two Facebook groups. One is for all of our users, and that's for them to, you know, to chat. Actually not too much about the software. We tend to not let them ask questions about the software in there. Because, you know, they should be going to like to support for that, but it gives them a bit of a smaller, tighter knit community to get to know people and all of that. And then our bigger Facebook group is for all maid service owners and just like anywhere, right? It doesn't matter what software they use, if they're customers, like, et cetera. And so with that, I mean, we started that group, I think, 8 years ago at this point. So it really just kind of runs on its own at this point. Like, we probably aren't using it anywhere near as much as we potentially could. It's just a great place for like our ideal audience and our potential users to hang out online, to ask questions. So we do get like content ideas from there, and we'll occasionally post about, you know, product updates and stuff like that. But again, it's not hugely intentional at the moment. It was back in the day. Back in the day, it's like I was personally on there every single day answering as many questions as I could, going live on Facebook for like multiple hours a day. It was like a very like Gary V style approach, but now it kind of runs a bit more like on its own with minimal. So it introduces people to our brand and helps out with a couple of other things. And then the user group is great for feedback on the product and stuff like that.
And how big of a group are we talking about here? How many members in that community?
The bigger community has, I believe, 8,000 like maid service owners.
And then just talk about your SEO strategy today, right? So what are you doing, right? So is it landing pages? Is it blogs? Or is it everything, right? So do you have any strategy going on here, especially in your particular niche?
It's mainly blogs. So what we have is every year we do the Maid Summit, which is a virtual summit for maid services like around the world. And that gets a couple thousand like online attendees every single year. And we bring on anywhere between like 40 and maybe as high as 60 folks to speak. Some of those are our customers. Others of them are coaches or consultants or agency owners. But the one thing they all have in common is they all work specifically with maid services, right? We don't take random accountants that's like, I work with small businesses. That's not good enough. They have to be ultra specialized to working with maid services. And so what we do with that is that gives us 40 to 60 pieces of video content that are then published to our YouTube channel. And over the years, we've had like a very talented writer on our team who has gone through and has turned each of those videos into standalone articles. Sometimes it's the entire talk. Sometimes it's like one section of the talk that makes a really good 800 or 1200 word article or whatever. And so over the years, I think the last time I checked, we had, I don't know, 800 pages or something like that on our blog. And then other than that, it's really just publishing consistently, being in business for 11 years now, and just, I think, being recognized by Google as just like a quality source of information that, like, you know, we've never played any games, like done any, you know, like black hat stuff or any questionable backlinking or anything along those lines. So every time there's a Google update, it always seems to help us. Like, I can't remember the last time there was a Google update that actually negatively impacted our
traffic. And then how much of, that makes a lot of sense. How much of a monthly traffic are we talking about in terms of, you know, overall inbound?
I honestly don't know. Like low five figures a month. I think maybe 3,000 to 4,000 like a week on the blog, but honestly, I don't know.
Got it. Yeah. And let's move on to your industry partnerships, right? I mean, like, so how have you built or, you know, developed these relationships over years? So just talk about what happened over the time, right? And what sort of partnerships are we talking about, right? And, you know, what's happening around this?
Yeah, so with that, I think that that was definitely playing to my personal strengths when we were getting the business like off the ground, that I went to a lot of live events and met people in person and really just offered to kind of to be helpful. I think that if you're a SaaS founder and you are good with just like web development, even like WordPress and stuff like that, I essentially, you know, let multiple consultants in the industry know once I'd sort of gotten in contact with them that I would let them know like, hey, you know, technology is our thing. Like, it's not your thing. So if you're having any challenges that you need website edits, that you need like these sorts of things, you always have a direct line to me. You're thinking about building your own app, you can drop me a line and I'll spend an hour talking to you about the challenges you might go through and just sort of like offering up time like that. I remember that for one of the consultants, she messaged me with some problem that I looked at and I was like, I have no idea how to solve this. I ended up going on Upwork and paying $200 to someone to come in and to solve her problem. She might find out about this if she ever watches this interview, but like she never knew that we actually went through and like and did that. And then also we've always taken the, you know, a rising tide raises all ships kind of approach. So the Made Summit, for example, it's like every consultant in the industry wants to be on like good terms with ZenMade, because if they're not, they're not going to get invited to this thing. And that's something that, you know, we've seen people that have literally launched entirely new businesses off of talks from like from that summit. So there's a variety of ways, you know, we try to feature them in other content, doing Facebook Lives and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And talk about your bottom of the funnel, right? So once somebody discovers your product, what happens, right? How do you convert that, you know, that lead to a paying customer, right? Is it completely hands off? Like what's happening today?
Or do you have any? It's a lot of retargeting of like Facebook retargeting and then using email marketing once we've added them to the email list to kind of nurture them. It's self-service in terms of getting them to a trial. Once they get on the trial, then we have like kind of a sales team. It's not like a strict like sales team the way that it is like with other companies. Like they don't make commission. It's more of like a customer success team that does a bit more of the onboarding and the handholding. Like we offer unlimited calls to help people get started, but you know, most people don't take advantage of that. And if they do, they're not usually a great fit. So yeah, that's generally like how it goes. But then also the Facebook group is really massive for that, right? That the Facebook group doesn't probably get us that much new traffic, but anyone that joins our email list and then jumps into our Facebook group, it might take 2 years for them to look at our software, but they're never going to forget our brand name. And that's kind of the point.
So do you get on any sales calls as such? Do you have any touch points where your salesperson goes, you know, talks to these customers? Does that happen ever?
That's like the customer success.
Okay.
So that's after they've signed up for the trial, not before. We only make exceptions if it's like a franchise or somebody that's like really big. But if someone has like three cleaners and they're like, we need to talk to you before we sign up for a trial, the answer is no.
So, but that's still not your customer, right? Somebody signing up for trial is still your potential lead, right? That you'll still have to convert.
Yeah, definitely.
My question is like, can you afford to have a sales team at this price point, right? It's a $1,000 deal, right? Can you
not a real sales team. If I had to pay people commissions, we would not be able to make the unit economics work. And I did sales in a previous life, so like I'm quite familiar with that yeah, we don't
it's more like enabling your, you know, customers to move from that trial to paid journey, right? Somehow in some automations or whatever you can do.
Yeah, much more handholding and like onboarding. Like I said, it's more customer success than it is sales.
So how does your churn look like today, right? Because I mean, at this price point, you typically expect a lot of churn, right? So how does that number look like?
I think like customer churn is somewhere like just under 5% a month. And then revenue churn is closer to like 2% a month. So it's, you know, I wish it was better. I hear about, you know, bigger software that have just insane like churn numbers and everything. And, you know, you have to take like the good with the bad, right? A lot of those companies, you have a 9-month sales cycle, right? It's, you know, we sign people up a lot without even talking to them. So, you know, yeah, I don't really compare myself to other other companies too much or other industries too much, just because it's so specific and like it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't change. What's that primary reason, right, for these churned out customers? Is it because they themselves are shutting down their business, or what's happening in this case, right? I mean, I'm understanding almost 60% of your customers sort of, you know, go away in a year or so, right? So what's happening to these customers typically from your own analysis?
It's a variety of like things. I mean, I don't know. Some go out of business. Some, you know, I mean, I think one thing is like when you look at that 5% number, if you were to remove customers that have been with us for longer than 90 days, so that have made like their third payment to us, then that churn number drops massively, right? You know, probably in like the 3% or like 2% range there. So like the other thing is that a lot of churn are people that were never truly using the software. Yeah. They were evaluating it and 14 days wasn't enough for them, right? So, it's a variety of things, but
So I'm going to talk about that 0-1 journey, right? So how did it all start, right? So how did you decide, okay, I'm going to build a service for maid cleaning industry, right? How did it all start and how did you get that first customer?
To just keep it brief, I ran a maid service previously, and then a friend of mine, because I'm the non-technical like founder, and so a friend of mine approached me and essentially was like, hey, I see that you guys have built out like your own little scheduling just using the website. I think that we can turn that into a SaaS and offer it to other maid services. And so that's how we actually started the company back in the day. And then we got our first customers with just cold email and cold calling. Our first 100 customers came from cold email and cold calling. And at some point along the way there, we got lucky with a partnership that helped us to go from like there to maybe 150 or something. And then sometime between 100 and 150 clients was when our inbound began to build up. That's when, you know, we were beginning to see a couple more folks finding us like on Google, and we'd written a couple of articles and all that stuff. So that's how we started.
And then what have you raised any external funding so far to build your company over the past 10 years?
So
is it completely bootstrapped and you co-founders own the complete business? Is that how it is today?
There's four owners now. That one of my initial co-founder left in 2017. So our current CTO has got a significant chunk of the business. And then one of the guys who was with me since 2015 and really helped to build up the company. Like it used to just be me, him, and the initial co-founder. He's got a small amount of equity as well.
So what's the long-term vision here, Amar? Right? So what are you doing? What are you planning to do with this company? Are you going to sort of sell it off to somebody, or what's the vision here now that you have complete control over the company?
I'm planning on I don't think that I'm likely to sell the business, but we'll have to see. It's like a you never say never kind of thing. Yes. That it's one of the industries that's like the least disruptible in the world. It's just, you know, people are always going to pay other people to clean their homes. So I don't think there's that much like risk in terms of that. I think that the best companies are always built to sell. So like the idea is that I'm building it so that like it's possible to sell it. But the way that I see it is that if I move on from ZenMaid, I'm likely going to focus on like another SaaS product, and potentially in the future have like a portfolio of like SaaS companies. And so to me, it's like, why sell the first one if that's the one that's like, that's working, you know? It spits off like a nice bit of like of cash. We've done all of like the hard work now. So we'll see. I think it's more likely that I'm going to hire someone to replace me as CEO at some point.
And you don't plan on to raise some sort of external VC funding and, you know, pump up the growth by doing all of that things, right? You don't intend to do all of that. And why are you such a strong opinion?
Because people that have investors generally essentially have bosses and have people that they're working for, right? Like it's 1:30 in the afternoon right now. And, you know, I'm just back from an appointment. I went to the gym like this morning, and like, I'm essentially responsible for getting the results, but how I spend my time is nobody's business but my own. And I'm not going to put that at risk, right? Like, yeah. So that's essentially it. Like, yeah, we've had a couple of offers from people that are like, oh, like, you know, if you take this money, you could just go hang out at the beach. And I'm just like, I'm already at the beach. I don't need to sell the business or to grow the business. Like I'm growing it more now as like almost like a personal challenge, and because I do want to make a bigger impact for us to affect more maid services. I'd like to bring on better people onto the team and pay my current team like more than they're currently paid and like, and all of like all of that stuff. But there is zero chance that I will take investment for this company. You can mark my words on that one. So
thanks, Amit. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Hope your skills send me to much, much greater heights.
Thanks for having